Hello and welcome to the Flix Forum podcast, where each episode we go back and we look at a Netflix original film in the order of release. Hey, I'm ready to do this one. We are getting so far into this because we're up to Netflix 305th film from 2020. It's the Austrian drama called What We Wanted, or in German, it's Was Wir Wollten. It's directed by Ulrich Koffler and stars Lavina Wilson, Elias Mbarek, Anna Untenberger, Lucas Spizer, Ivor Hoppegerger, Fedor Temel, and Marta Manduka. I'm Jesse, I'm your host. Thanks for joining me for this episode. This is a bit of a sleeper, I think. I think if you're keen on checking this one out, give us a pause and come back a little bit later on. This one was put forward for the Academy Awards from Austria, which I'll get into soon. But yeah, if you don't want this one spoiled for you, give us a pause and come back later on, because we're going to kick off the show with the Fast Flicks, where we do a quick little summary of what the film is all about. So this one's about a couple who is struggling with fertility. They go on a holiday where their connection is tested. Yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it at. I think that's probably more than enough about this film. So how did this one end up on Netflix? I guess we sort of go back to, this is based on a short story, which was called Der Lauf der Dinge by Peter Stamm. It was selected by Austria for their entry for the Best International Feature Film at the 93rd Academy Awards, but unfortunately it did not actually get the nomination. The film was originally set to premiere at the Garten Borkino Festival in Vienna on the 2nd of November 2020, followed by a theatrical release in Austria from the 6th of November 2020. But it was delayed due to the COVID pandemic, which we've seen with a lot of the films we're going through at the moment. This was picked up by Netflix and released outside of Austria on the 11th of November 2020. And then Austria, it was released on Netflix from the 22nd of December 2020. So they did hold off, I guess, just hoping maybe that they could get a theatrical release. Didn't quite happen. So this is a Netflix original film. This was filmed obviously in Austria, in Vienna, and also a lot of the film does take place in Italy, in Sardinia, so some nice beachside locations in this film too. What are the critics and audiences saying about this film? Pretty positive, I guess. Rotten Tomatoes, it sits at 100%, but that's only on 5 reviews, so it is fresh. The audience, a little bit lower, on 60%, that's less than 50 ratings. IMDb sits at a 5.9 out of 10 on 2,000 ratings. Letterboxd, 2.9 out of 5, so I guess it's below that 3 out of 5 that sort of says, hey, this is a pretty good film. That's on just under 2,000 ratings, been logged by 2,600 people. This was nominated for some awards, 7 altogether. So it was nominated for 4 awards at the Romy Gala Awards in Austria and 3 more at the Austrian Film Awards too. Across the world, this one in Portuguese, it translates to When Life Happens. Not a bad title, because this film is about people wanting to have a baby, and obviously the title in English, What We Wanted, that's the direct translation from German as well. In Russian, it's called What Do We Dream About? I actually like that title because the film does start off with a dream sequence about having a child, and in Swedish, it's called An Unexpected Twist. Yeah, not a big fan of that one, don't think so. What are my early thoughts? I think I was in on this. I think this was a good film. This, I mean, it looked good. It was performed well. The way it sort of made me feel, I guess, really made me empathize with the couple and what they were going through. So positive for me for this film, I think. Let's talk about the characters in this film. So we've got Alice. She's our main character, her and her husband, Nicholas. I guess for Alice, like, she's really impacted. And we see this from the opening scene, the dream sequence from her point of view, her voiceover, telling us about the dreams she has of having their own child. And we then sort of see in that opening sort of sequence too, that they're at this fertility clinic and, you know, that impact. This is the fourth attempt they've had at having IVF. And sort of the doctor or the nurse there says, this is, you know, we can't fund it anymore. The government doesn't fund past 4 tries and, you know, tells them to have a holiday. So she's really impacted. And not being able to have this child really makes her question everything, including her husband Nicholas's feelings towards her. And this sort of creates tension between them throughout. I think just the fact that, and this is so sad, like, she wants a mini her almost. She wants someone with her own genes. And she doesn't want to have to adopt a child, which is almost the last option or the last resort they've got. Her husband, Nicholas, he's the complete opposite. He's like this male who isn't good at expressing his feelings. He plays that role and he tries to laugh things off and he doesn't have the ability to actually talk about how he's feeling. So obviously there's strains on their relationship throughout this film. And this is impacted further once they do go on this break or this holiday to get away from the realities of what they're facing at home, and they go to Italy. There's another Austrian couple that they sort of share, or they don't share a room, but they're situated next to each other in their sort of villas. And the husband there, Romed, and the wife, Crystal, they have everything they want, pretty much. They've got kids, they've got happiness, all that sort of stuff. And Romed, the dad there, he sort of plays this macho almost guy. He creates this distraction for Nicholas too. Like, it's this guy he can talk to. You know, he doesn't have the ability to talk to his wife, Alice, but he has the ability to talk to Nicholas. He can sort of bro talk with him, I guess. And, you know, Romed plays that, he likes the outdoors, he likes barbecuing, he's very manly. And I guess Nicholas finds it in him that, you know, he can connect with him. And Crystal, the wife, you know, Alice cannot connect with her. Crystal's this hot, attractive wife, I guess. And Alice sees her as this woman who can bear babies. And, you know, Crystal, she walks around without her top on. And it's almost like this thing where she feels that Nicholas is probably interested in her too. And that impacts the way that she feels, because she feels that he doesn't want to be with her. The only sort of question I have, or the question mark against Crystal, is that she's into astrology, and that sort of is a little bit of a weird thing. But their kids too, they play a big role in this film too. They've got a boy and a girl, and Denise is this young little toddler, almost like child, who's this reflection, I guess, of a young child that Alice doesn't have. And she says all the things that can drive Alice up the wall because of her innocence. You know, she wants to be a skier, and she speaks how she thinks, which sort of puts Alice off a little bit. And then the opposite, David, he's that teenage son who almost is, like, Alice gets along with most, because he's like down, he's very emo, he's gloomy, and that's where she's at in her mental state at that stage as well. So not too bad characters in this film. The director, let's talk about the director, Ulrich Kofler. Done a fair bit of editing, so I think his main work is in editing in film and television. This is his debut feature. He does have a directing credit for 2024, so he's done this mini-series called Sexwell, the Fugbar, which is a German or Austrian show in German. Interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing some more films. I think did a good effort in this film. Let's talk about some scenes that stood out, and then some ones that I didn't like. There's quite a bit I liked in this. I think that the opening, and I sort of touched on this before, the opening dream sequence that we almost get, it was really well done. It was like this dream of Alice and how she'd feel if she actually had a child. I think that was done well. Alice and Nicholas, they decide to go on this holiday, and they head towards this ferry to take their car with them. And there's just this high angle shot of their car. They're almost lost, and they're going round and round in circles around this roundabout. And it's just really clever to sort of show where they were as a couple at that stage too, sort of stuck in a rut, I think. And throughout the film, this was done really well. All these shots of kids and families everywhere throughout the film to sort of remind you of how Alice and Nicholas would be feeling. It was done really well. And then, you know, there's including, you know, they check in, there's a kid's bed with a teddy bear in their room and in their accommodation. And then they're out at a restaurant, and there's like a couple that are ignoring their child at the table. Just these things that, you know, every time you'd see that would make you feel so sad. There's like this mirrored shot of Alice and Crystal both sitting out on the balconies of their villas, just showing like the different lives that they have. That was really well done too. There's a scene when Nicholas goes to the reception because, you know, the kids and the family next door, they're so loud, and he's gone to reception to ask for a room change to sort of get away from the family. And Romed, the husband, he sort of comes and he's like, oh, are we too noisy? Is it because of us, sort of thing? And, you know, he has to back down on that room change. And it's like, oh, well, we finds out that they've got the kid's bed that they needed. And so we see them moving that kid's bed from their place to the other. It was just really well done. There's the same Denise little girl. She's sort of like, you know, just says what she's thinking. And she goes and sits with Alice and says, you know, you're a sad woman, and sort of draws her face in the sand just to sort of show where Alice is at. Even though they're on vacation and getting away or on a holiday, it doesn't change the fact that she feels empty by not having a child with her. It sort of starts off with there's a scene where Nicholas is outside and looking next door into the backyard, and Crystal's topless, and Alice sort of catches him looking at her. And then we see, you know, Denise comes in and spends some time with Alice on the couch, and they talk. And then Crystal's worried that she's gone missing, and she just walks in topless, and she picks up Denise and walks away with her. And she's like asking her mum, you know, why did you go to the neighbors naked? That was quite funny. And then finally, Romed, this was just relatable, I guess, because he's talking to Nicholas about he's got this wine cellar in his place, and it's like this one place he can go to get peace away from his kids. And it's like the complete opposite of what Nicholas has got. They're empty, it's quiet. And Ramed's talking about how much he needs that quiet. And it just felt very relatable. I don't have a wine cellar, but it still felt very relatable. I like that too. Some things that I didn't like. Alice and Nicholas, they do this weird dance one night. That was weird. There's a scene where David, the son of Ramed and Crystal, he's just sort of standing out the front of the bakery where Nicholas is getting some food. And then Nicholas walks out and he just runs off. That was a bit weird. Alice and Nicholas, there's a moment where they sort of get intimate in the pool. And you're like, oh yeah, they're sort of rebuilding this connection. And then they get out of the pool and go to do the deed. And it just doesn't happen. And I don't know, it just didn't feel right. And then finally, I guess, Alice, she goes to this closed cafe towards the end and sort of debriefs with this chick that works there. And ends up spending the night with her, sort of just lying outside near the beach. I think like she sort of made mention of this chick on phone calls and with her husband at some stage, but why was she so important? They're on this holiday. There's this chick, she's meant to mean something to her, and we didn't have any context around that. So I thought that was a bit weird too. Themes, ideas. What's this film talking about? So obviously fertility, the issues of fertility, the costs, the strains on relationships, the misunderstandings of people too. Like, you know, those comments about like, you're so lucky to not have kids, and that the impact those comments can have. And, you know, I'm guilty myself. Like sometimes it's frustrating being a parent and you just struggle with having kids, but those words that you say can impact people. So I completely get that. Obviously to relationships too, these guys have financial woes too, and what others have and what they're missing out on. And that idea, I guess, that the grass isn't always greener. And there's a little bit of about faith, I guess, and religion and praying. We see this through Denise, the little girl, and she's talking about, you know, you need to pray to get what you want sort of thing. So does faith and does prayer actually help? Relaxing, that's a really important thing in this too. We see through David, you know, he puts music on to zone out of the world and to relax. And this is something that that Alice actually tries in the film too, because, you know, you can't force yourself to relax or to take your mind off things, especially when all you want is a child. And I'm not sure, this is sort of, I guess, a bit of a pondering. I'm not sure that the attempted suicide of David at the end is sort of a good enough reason to make things better for a couple who can't have a kid. You know, it's not a good enough reason to be happy that you can't have kids, that you see someone else's kid go through struggles. I just thought that was a little bit of a weird take at the end of the film. What did I take away from this one? I think I've said this multiple times with international films. This is a Netflix thing. This isn't anything to do with the actual film, but there's English spoken at stages throughout this film. And obviously you watch an international film with the original language, but when the English dialogue comes on the screen, they don't put subtitles on for the English language. That really frustrates me. I'm obviously, you know, I can hear, but the people who have hearing difficulties, they're not going to know what's going on the screen. And I just find it not good. It's really frustrating. It's like a little bit of a lack in, you know, if you're going to pump these international films and buy them, you need to do the film the proper way. So that really frustrated me too. Some questions, some pondering, some ideas. I guess what would have happened if Alice and Nicholas booked a room next to a couple or that had no kids, or an empty room? Like, would this whole film have played out like this? Would they have had time to rekindle themselves without actually having to worry about it? Or would the thought of seeing kids at the beach or seeing kids at restaurants have just created this situation anyway? I don't have an answer, but I think that's something good to think about. And like, there's a scene where they sort of have a bit of an argy-bargy. Nicholas and Alice have a bit of a fight, and Nicholas throws a glass of wine against the wall. The glass breaks. There's wine all over the wall. We didn't see him clean it up. That really annoyed me. I wanted to make sure that he didn't leave that there for housekeeping to clean up. So that would have really made this film a bit better for me, I think. I know it's a little nitpicky. I'm ready to wrap this up. We give the film a rating out of 5. For me, this was a really good film. It was really good. The setup's great. Even if a few things were super obvious, especially with like the emo son, I think, and the ending probably doesn't land as good as it should. Especially, you know, they head back to Austria and, you know, they're renovating this house to have more rooms for kids that they're not going to have. And then they sort of finish on this shot of this view of the city that they're going to have. And that view is going to make them happy. I don't know. Maybe that's, I don't know, not sold on the ending, but I think it's still worth a watch. I'm giving this a 3.5 out of 5. Decent film from me. We're on socials. We have Instagram, we have Facebook, and we have X, formerly known as Twitter. The question that I wanted to put out, this is a pretty deep one, I guess, but how do you feel? How do you deal with suffering with something that you can't have? Obviously, this is to do with the inability to have children, but is there something that, you know, you desperately want and you suffer because you can't have it? I think that's a really good theme from this film. Anyway, we're back next week. We do have another international film next week. 2020 was the year of Netflix buying international films during the pandemic. This one is an Indian Hindi language film. It's a black comedy crime called Ludo. This one's directed by Anurag Basu and stars an ensemble cast including Abhishek Bachchan, Aditya Roy Kapoor, Rajkumara Rahul, Bankaj Tripathi, Fatima Sanshaka, Sanja Malhotra, Rohit Suhu Saraf, and Pearl Mani. That's what we've got next week. I think this one's about a 2.5 hour film, so hopefully I can get it out next week. It's a big film. That's a big sitting session for me. Thanks for joining me. Hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next week.